From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Welcome to the News OK Pet Show. I'm Dawn Marks.
And I'm Brian Dean.
And it's just the two of us today. We're going to talk a little bit about some day trips or some ideas for folks who might be looking for some interesting new things to do. But first, Brian, you have some news for us?
I do. I have some interesting news. We're gonna start in the great state of Indiana, where a woman named Hope Whiteup couldn't figure out why her car's turn signal and windshield wipers wouldn't work. And then the car wouldn't start, and she's not figuring out why there's so many problems. turns out a chipmunk was storing its winter nuts in her car. So I guess in the grand scheme of things that can go wrong with your car, like chipmunk nuts storage is probably like easier to deal with than like a broken fan belt, but
possibly
at the same time, it's not something they necessarily train you for in like mechanic school, I imagine.
No, I don't. My question is, how long had it been since she'd driven the car?
Well, she thought it all started the previous fall when a chipmunk had snatched a garden glove from her yard, and she later found the glove in the engine compartment when she was trying to repair the broken turn signal. She wasn't able to fix it, and she let it sit unused for a couple weeks, and then she heard this loud revving sound from the engine when she tried to start it, and that's when she looked under the hood and found these walnuts. Apparently, I mean, they had to spend $240 to tow it and repair it. But they're not even sure where the chipmunk is, but Whiteup is apparently not taking any chances. She's alternating use of her two cars, so neither one sits too long. That way,
I think that's a good idea.
That way the chipmunk will have to find alternate storage.
So that, I guess she could roast some chestnuts in there. It might have got a little hot and roasted the nuts.
I just feel bad for the chipmunk, because now what's he supposed to do? His whole stash is gone, you know? He spent 2 weeks trying to gather all these nuts for the winter. Is he going to starve to death now because all of his war chest just got, like, you know, towed?
Let's hope he didn't put all of his nuts in one basket.
So bad. Snap.
Ba-dum-bum.
Oh, terrible, terrible. Okay, with that, we're going to move over to England, which I got to say, we have a new intern in the News and Information Center who's from England, and I was telling him yesterday how much I love his country because they provide me with unending, ridiculous pet stories. This one I just find hilarious. There's a pair, and I'd heard of this before, there's a pair of gay penguins who'd been thrown out of their zoo colony at Polar Land in it's actually in northern China, but the story comes to us from the Daily Mail in England. Apparently this gay, and this happens, penguins will pair up regardless of gender. And so two male penguins paired up and apparently were wanting to raise their own eggs. And so they were stealing eggs from male-female partners. They'd take a rock and they'd go and carry the rock over and lay it down and they'd make off with the egg and make them think that rock was their egg and then they'd make off with it. Well, they got kicked out of the colony. So zoo workers, after a bunch of angry visitors complained it wasn't fair to keep them from becoming surrogate fathers, the zoo bosses gave them a chance by taking a pair of eggs laid by an inexperienced first-time mother who couldn't take care of them. And apparently these two male penguins have just become the star parents. They're the best parents in the whole zoo.
I think, isn't it the male penguins take care of the babies for a long period of time while the mother goes off to get food? Isn't that right?
Yes, they often do. They'll warm them. They keep them under themselves and warm them.
And they don't eat for quite a long time and rotate in and out of a circle. I've seen some documentaries on that. So it's not surprising they might want to be parents.
Hopefully we won't. Lawmakers in the U.S. won't hear about this and pass some sort of like regulation that prevents gay penguins from adopting, because okay. I think gay penguins should have the chance to be good parents, personally.
All right.
Maybe a controversial statement, but.
Well, it's one you can take, I guess. So you went on a trip recently,
I did.
Right?
We figured it would be fine, you know, with the holidays coming up, people have some time off. Maybe, you know, you've seen the Oklahoma City Zoo a lot and you want to try and get out and see something new. We thought it'd be fun to give people some ideas for day trips. I had a little time off last week. And so my girlfriend and I went down to Dallas and visited the Dallas World Aquarium, which I had never been to before. And I have to say it was outstanding. I guess I was expecting it was just going to be a bunch of like fish tanks, and it was like 10% or 15% fish tanks, and the rest of it was, I mean, it was sort of set up like a whole rainforest, and I was just totally impressed with the whole building, the way it was designed. The collection was unreal. They had, I mean, lots of endangered species, everything from river otters to tamarines to They had what's the big snake in the Amazon? The anacondas.
Mm-hmm.
They had tarantulas, bird-eating spider, the big tarantulas, vampire bats, some of the endangered species. They had everything from a cotton-top tamarine, the river otters, golden lion tamarine, which is a big orange monkey-looking thing that mm-hmm. is incredible. They had the only, like, breeding pair of Orinoco crocodiles in the world.
Oh, really?
And they had all these baby ones, and they were in these baby crocodiles were in just really close. I think what was so impressive to me about this collection was the way the building was designed. You could get really close to the animals, either just separated by glass, or sometimes, I mean, you could walk right up. There's a three-toed sloth just kind of like hanging out on a tree by the snack bar, and they had a sign saying, "Please don't touch the sloth." And that was pretty much it. And this poor sloth just kind of buried there sleeping. But, I mean, you could really get really close to the animals. And for kids especially, I think it would just be super impressive. You could get right up to the they have a jaguar in the bottom level. And it's amazing. It's this little glass enclosure. And, I mean, this jaguar, it was so beautiful. And the coat is so shiny. And it's like 6 inches from you.
Uh-huh.
It's just incredible to see. And between the collection itself and just all the animals they had, and the way that the place was designed, the rainforest was great. I've never seen a collection of primates like that. They had, you know, howler monkeys and all kinds of tree kangaroos and mm-hmm. just different kinds of marsupials. And really, like I said, the primates were really impressive. And the way it was set up, when it would get sort of thinned out, mm-hmm. more of them would come out because there are all these places for them to go. They're
and
not
hide.
Really in cages a mm-hmm. lot of times. They're just sort of out there. And it was just really, really impressive. Well, some of the animals would come right up to the cage walls, and they'd probably been fed more than they should be, so they're really friendly. But it was really, really impressive. And it's $18 to get in,
uh-huh.
but if you haven't seen it, I would really, really recommend it. It's just a very impressive. And I can even recommend the food. We ate at, they have a little Cafe Maya, which is kind of a Mexican-themed place,
uh-huh.
and really nice food and really reasonably priced. And, I mean, you know, much better than eating fast food on your way there. So
uh-huh.
I think that's one of the nice things about those aquariums and zoos is sometimes they have really good restaurants in uh-huh. addition to the to everything. But yeah, I would totally recommend if you want to just drive down a few hours down to Dallas and check out that aquarium. It's
right.
It's very, very nice.
Well, so if you don't have time to go to Dallas, we have the Oklahoma Aquarium mm-hmm. in Jinx. And I've been there and was impressed, especially by the shark area, which is kind of surreal.
Is it one of those like hallways where they have
you
the aquarium?
Can go through?
Yeah, they had one
and
of those. They had a couple of those with
you.
The Dallas Aquarium too, mm-hmm. with the sharks, where you're in these like hallways with the glass aquarium kind of over top of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's just isn't it? So, like, really
it was
cool?
Really neat. And on their website, which is www.okaquarium.org, it has schedules for the feedings of
right.
these animals, and not just the sharks, but a lot of others. So if you have a specific animal that you're really interested in, you can look on there and see what time they might be feeding, that kind of thing. And they also have a baby otter that was born September 26th, mm. 2008. So if you have a weakness for the otters, which I do.
I do as well.
they're
one of my favorite animals. And I got to see the otters get fed at the Dallas Aquarium.
Uh-huh.
And the only thing cuter than adult otter is a baby otter.
Oh, I think so. I think you're right. So, you know, that's a couple of choices that are reasonably close. And I
will say the feedings is a really cool thing. The
mm-hmm.
Dallas Aquarium does the same thing. They have talks and feedings throughout the day. And it's a great chance, especially with those design, sometimes the animals aren't out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They know when feeding time is. And so it's a great chance to go out there and see them really up close.
Right.
And I got to see the otter feeding and the penguin feeding,
mm-hmm.
Which was, they have these black-footed penguins you find in South Africa, and they're
mm-hmm.
beautiful. And it's a great chance to see those animals close
mm-hmm.
up.
And
usually those schedules
too.
Are on their websites. I should give the Dallas World Aquarium website as well. That is www.dwazoo.com.
Okay.
So check that out there.
Yeah, so those are a couple of options. I'm sure there are lots more that we haven't mentioned, but we just have a little bit of time. So I guess we can move on to tips now. And with the weather getting really cold, I just thought, you know, we could do a little review on getting ready for winter. Obviously, I've got some tips here from the Oklahoma State University Veterinary Health Sciences Center. And first one is keep pets indoor or in a heated facility when temperatures are below freezing. And we all know we've been there lately. If they must be outside, make sure they have adequate food and water and shelter. And the shelter should be insulated and protected from the wind, because the wind has definitely been a factor and always will be in Oklahoma probably. And then you want it to be large enough for the animal to fit inside, but small enough where the body heat from the animal can warm it up. And then outdoor shelters should face away from the north with a flap covering the opening. And you want to check to make sure the water is not freezing frequently, and give them warm water, which I hadn't thought of, but that's another thing to kind of give them a little bit of extra there.
Yeah, you want to avoid the hot water, but warm water is definitely mm-hmm. good. It's, hey, if you like hot cocoa, they'll
right.
like warm water, right?
Right, right. And then I think a big thing that people may not think about is, and I know this growing up on a farm, that you want to give them more food when it's colder outside.
Yeah. Because they're calories.
Yes, exactly. And that will help keep them warm as well. So that is all I have for today. And everyone, go out and take care of your pets.